In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, during this Paschal season, we've seen a lot of things in the Gospels about enlightenment, about what the process of salvation is. This is another example of such. And here, something else that's very important is brought to bear. The same thing that was present in Thomas, the same thing that was present in the myrrh-bearing women. It was lacking in the one, the paralytic. And that is character. You can't be saved without good character. You need to follow the commandments. It has to be in the heart. This man was a good man. This blind man. And we can see his character just very vividly when the Jews questioned him about his healing. It's really a marvelous thing to see a man who really knew nothing about Christ except his name, who was being, on the greatest day of his life, was being accosted and questioned, and it was hostility. His own parents were basically throwing him, shall we say, under the bus. And he showed such purity and such honesty and such courage, and not a little bit of humor as well. We need to have character if we're going to be saved. And this man shows the kind of character we must have. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were doing all the questioning, they're like the press that people can't get through. There was another time when a paralytic was lowered through a roof because of the press, because of the crowd. Because the world makes it difficult. The world tries to impede us. And this is exactly what's happening here. The Pharisees, because of their jealousy, their blindness, their anger, their hatefulness, they're trying to find something to condemn Christ because he was merciful to one of their own. What an amazing thing to do. And this man showed such courage in the face of the questioning. Remember, the Pharisees basically controlled many things. If you were put out of the synagogue, then you were basically blacklisted. It would mean things for your well-being, for your welfare, for your business contacts, for everything else. It was a really big deal to be put out of the synagogue. And the Pharisees had made it be known that they were extorting from their own people obedience, by saying if anyone would say that this man is the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Let's trace what happened to this man, and let's learn how we can be like him. So Jesus passed by. By the way, those words are not by happenstance. Jesus passed by. In another place, he also was on a journey, the Samaritan. And the man who was by the side of the road, and he was bleeding and dying and half dead, no one could help. Not the Levite, not the priest, no one could help. So Jesus, not by happenstance, passed by. This passing by is indicating his incarnation, his coming to earth to heal us. And we are all like the man by the side of the road, left half dead. We are all like the man who is born without eyes, blind, or like the paralytic, or like any of many other examples. Each of those persons is us. And it is not by accident that Jesus passed by this man who was born blind. Isn't it remarkable how much is contained in the Scriptures? Just a couple words. Jesus passed by. And it indicates the whole economy of our salvation. incarnation of the Son of God, so that He would live the life that we must live to know God, and make us capable of living that life, so that He would address our every need, whether it is that we are blind, or whether it is that we are halt, or whether it is that we are laying by the side of the road half dead. Whatever our need is, He comes to help us with it. And here is how He does it. So, He makes clay out of His spit, and or He makes a ball of clay, moist lump of clay from His spittle and from the dust of the ground. That, by the way, is another indication of the incarnation, the dust of the earth. Being man was created from the dust of the earth. And the divine light of God, the divine spirit of God filled man. And He did something that we know in our tradition to be true. He made eyes for the man. He didn't just smear clay over him. He made little balls, put them in empty sockets. The man was born without eyes. Our services, our tradition makes this very clear. Now, as an aside, let me say something about this. A man born without eyes began to see. It is one thing, perhaps, to help someone that has some problem with his eyes to see, such as Paul, who had a problem with blindness on the road to Damascus, but he was healed of this blindness, but he still had eyes. How can you make a man to see who does not even have eyes? Only God can do this. No wonder the people were saying, "He looks like him, but I remember someone who didn't have eyes." What does this mean for us? There's nothing impossible with God. If He can make a man see who doesn't even have eyes, don't you think that He can help you in the things that you need in your life for which you see no solution? Many times this verse has given me, or this passage, has given me much comfort, because there's a lot of things that I just don't see the solutions to. I have no idea how it's going to get done. I have no idea how things are going to get better. But God knows. And I might think that these three pieces are needed to get something done. But with God, He needs nothing. One would think, if one was a doctor, in order to help a man see, first I have to have eyes to work on. The Lord doesn't even need eyes. There is nothing that the Lord lacks, and there is nothing that the Lord cannot give. So let us believe this. Now, by the way, you don't just say, "Okay, snap my fingers. Now I believe this. That's right. I have perfect faith now." No. Faith is grown. Just as this man had his faith grown. And how did it happen? The Lord makes his eyes and tells him, "Go to the pool of Siloam." Well, of course, water. Baptism. Some types in Scripture are rather easy to figure out. With baptism comes healing. The man was not healed until after he washed. If he had not gone and washed, he would not have been healed. Remember the story of Naaman the Syrian? And he wanted some great thing for the prophet to tell him to do. And all he said was, "Just go into Jordan and dip yourself 7 times." He wanted something great, something big. And he wouldn't do it until his servant basically said, "You've got to do it." And then he was healed of his leprosy. The same thing here with this man, except this man didn't complain at all. He just stumbled over to the pool of Siloam and washed and came away seeing. Because the waters of baptism cleanse and heal. They would not have cleansed and healed if he did not approach them. And his character was what caused him to approach them. His guilelessness and his obedience. But we see much more strong character traits than that in just a moment. So now the whole town is abuzz and the Pharisees are angry. Because they're so full of hatred that one of their own is healed, and all they can think of is keeping control. And they're going to keep control by continuing what has been done from time immemorial, where a group of people tries to terrorize another group because they have some power. And in this case, the power was to cast out of the synagogue, to ostracize. So they're asking the man, who did this? He says, well, I don't really know. He knew he was Jesus and that was all. He said, well, under my eyes, he told me to go wash and now I came away seeing. And they still couldn't believe. So they called his parents. Look what his parents did. How shameful. His parents admitted that he was their son, begrudgingly. But then they immediately passed to him. Oh, he's of age. Let him explain. May God not have it happen that any one of us, if our children were healed in such a way, that we would act like this. We should say, to God be glory. Of course he was healed by God. But they were afraid that they would be put out of the synagogue. So then they call the man and question him again. And here is where his character shines forth. Because I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I haven't said it for a while, but I've said it many times. It takes courage to be a Christian. You can't be saved without courage. It won't happen. It takes courage to approach your own sins. It takes courage to live the Christian life in the face of others who want you to live a different kind of life. Well, maybe you can go ahead and be Christian, but just don't be too crazy about it, Just make sure that you allow other people to have their space, as our world would say. The only thing our world is not tolerant about is if someone actually believes something's right and wrong. Otherwise, other than that, they tolerate everything. But that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is that there is right and there is wrong. There is a way of life and there is a way of death. There is a God and there is a devil. And there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. And right opinions to have and wrong opinions to have. And it never changes. So this man being questioned by the Pharisees, they ask him again, what happened to you? And what does he say? He says, why do you ask? He knew that they had no interest whatsoever in knowing what happened. They were trying to find something, grasping at some straw so that they could in some way implicate Jesus. They said, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And what did the man say? Understand the way the scripture says it. He says, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. That doesn't mean he didn't know who he was, didn't know he wasn't a sinner. It's like saying he was dismissing them. What a foolish thing to say. He says just a minute later, we know that God does not hear sinners. Of course he's not a sinner. This is where the man started to really have, as it were, his eyes opened, his spiritual eyes opened. Seeing the depravity of the Pharisees made him much more see the goodness of Christ. So then he says, I told you already and you did not hear. Would you hear it again? And then he says something that I find so humorous. Not in the funny ha-ha way, but certainly this man was just, he had a gift for statement. And he says what? I have told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Can you imagine how angry the Pharisees got at that point? Can you imagine the courage to say such a thing? It was automatic that he was out after that. Automatic. And he knew it. So they say a few other things. Thou wast altogether born in sins and all kinds of other things. And they cast him out. How many of us would have acted like this? Now, put yourself in his position. He's been a blind man and a beggar for all of his life. Okay? This is his opportunity for the first time to be part of society. Okay? Because when you were blind or when you were lame or when you had some disease, you were basically pushed away from society in that culture. You had nobody except other beggars and other people sick like you. And you suffered a great deal. This was his opportunity now to be part of society. To no longer be so hungry and to be so alone. And yet, the Pharisees were asking of him something that he could not do. He could not lie about what happened. Because his heart told him it was God who healed him. And so he was courageous. Question yourself, would you do the same thing? This is how salvation is won, brothers and sisters. Christ passes by. He comes to each one of us. And we are baptized. And then the living begins. The victorious living. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. And there are going to be people that are oppressing us. Especially in business today. Oh, businesses try so hard to get you to conform to their sort of false religion. And don't fool yourself. They all have a false religion. And they want you to sort of have opinions that sort of fit in with everyone else. This is not who we are. We should be like the blind man. The blind man who gained his sight and was courageous in speaking the truth. This is what this gospel teaches me. I hope it teaches you the same thing. You can't be saved without courage. God will instill in you the ability, but if you don't have good character, then you're lost. Now, God can help you with your sins. God can help you with strengthening your will. But God will not give you desire. You must have desire. He will help you. He will strengthen you. And in so going from one good thing to the next, you will be filled with more zeal. But this is a natural progression that happens because of our confidence. Because of good results. But God will not give you desire. God will not give you good character. You must provide these works. This is in another place. The one who had one talent and buried it in the earth. What did he say to the Lord? Well, you know, you reap where you do not sow. And you gather where you have not strewed. And the Lord said, yeah, you're right. Exactly. And what that means is that the Lord will give you grace, but you must become good. He's not going to become good for you. You must become good. God gives you all the tools, all the ability. Examine your character and the places in your character that are deficient. Improve. If you tend to be dishonest, this in many ways is much worse than some carnal sin. God can help you with sins. But defects of character, you must spend a lot of energy on these. And if a person does not really desire to be saved, even though they say they want to be saved, they say they're orthodox, they da da da, then they won't be. And it is shown, our inner disposition is shown by the way we live and by the way we think and by the way we speak. And by the priorities we have. God will not give you these priorities. God will give you the ability to fulfill these priorities. And this we see in the blind man. God did not make this man good. God doesn't make anybody good. God helps us to become good. And this man was good and courageous. And because of that, he found God. Let us be like him.